Okay.
All right, Josiah, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Jen. Welcome all to the Next Gen Mentoring Forum. The Next Gen Mentoring Forum series is designed to empower, educate, and illuminate individuals who are interested in the financial planning industry. At each forum, an expert will discuss a topic in the field of financial planning with the purpose of inspiring critical thought and discussion. In today's session, Dr. Jen will interview industry's top financial coach, Sandra Davis, about how to use financial counseling and coaching skills to help your clients. My name is Josiah Gonzalez, graduate program specialist of the School of Management. I am your host today. I am a proud CLU alum of the MPPA program at Cal Lutheran University. Dr. Jolly Jen is an assistant professor and director of the financial planning program at California Lutheran University. She maintains an active financial planning practice, specialized in succession program management at the Value Growth Institute. She's authored 3 award-winning books, most recent peer-reviewed research book published by Palgrave Macmillan, titled Enhancing Retirement Success Rates in the United States, Leveraging Reverse Mortgages, Delaying Social Security, and Exploring Continuous Work. The Next Gen Mentoring Forum is sponsored by California Lutheran University School of Management Financial Planning Program. We offer an MBA in financial planning that helps financial advisors pursue a leadership position or grow their financial planning practice by deploying advanced financial planning, effective client communication / counseling, streamlined practice management, as well as leverage fintech. I will turn it over to Dr. Jen. Dr. Jen?
Thank you, Josiah. And it's such a great honor for me to interview Sandra Davis today. She is the Executive Director of Sage Financial Solutions. Sandra is a U.S. Navy veteran, financial coach, educator, and consultant who is nationally recognized as an expert in financial coaching field and her work with community-based organizations. Ms. Davis is the founder and executive director of Sage Financial Solutions, a San Francisco Bay Area-based organization that develops comprehensive financial capability programs for low and moderate income communities throughout the U.S. She developed, facilitates the Financial Fitness Coach Certification Program to promote the highest standard for professional services for all people, irrespective of wealth and income. As a financial behavioral specialist, her philosophy of the financial wealth continuum of care has shaped the financial coaching efforts around the country. Sandra holds the Master of Science in Financial Planning from Golden Gate University, where she is currently a distinguished adjunct professor in the Personal Financial Planning Program. So Sandra, very much welcome you here. I'm going to stop sharing the screen so then we can actually see each other for
there
that.
There we are.
Yeah. You and I have crossed our path so many times in the past, right? I remember maybe a decade ago or so that we both were involved in the Financial Planning Association's pro bono activities, both on a local level as well as on a national level. And then we just kept running into each other on various different conferences. So for the benefits of for those participants who really don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so it's so good to see you. It's always great to spend time with you. And yes, we've had some very long and windy roads to get where we
right.
are today. So one of the things that I think it's important for people to know about me is that prior to becoming a financial planner, I spent 20 years in the nonprofit sector. So I was always doing very much community-focused work. So it was always around dealing with situations or people who were disenfranchised in one way or another. And the thing that I realized then when I decided to come into this field was that we were doing a lot of amazing work. You know, we're helping people get houses and helping people go to college and get jobs and start businesses. And then you would find that they would end up coming back, right? They'd come back. So they get help and then they'd come back. And that would be great if it weren't the fact that they were coming back because something had went wrong. Right. So maybe the home was foreclosed on, or they ended up deep in student debt without benefit of the degree that they had thought that they were going to end up with, or, you know, their business didn't quite do what they thought that it would do. And so what happened for me is that I discovered very early that unless we help people with their financial choices and really being able to take control of their financial situation, irrespective of what was going on, right? So a lot of folks, that they're disenfranchised for a reason: lack of access, racism, structural problems that create barriers to people actually being able to do the things that they wanted to do with their lives. And so with financial planning, what became really clear to me was that we really can help people overcome those things, right? They shouldn't have to overcome them, but in order to make it, how do we help them overcome them? And so I tell people all the time, I've never been in the business of helping poor people be more comfortable being poor, which is why in the pro bono work that we did together, it was very important to me that financial planners understood we have to bring excellence to people wherever they are and whatever stage they're in their financial lives. So for the past 15 years now, this is my 15th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. For 15 years, I have been working very diligently to help people build their financial understanding, their financial awareness, not only of the content, understanding the financial topics, but understanding their behavior and what helps them move toward a healthy financial life, however they define that.
And I think that there are a couple of things that you mentioned that is quite obvious that many of us don't notice, and that is that we're not in the business of making people more poor, right? And they are family that obviously we are in the pleasure of serving such a high net worth, but at the same time, they are a group of people who desperately need help as well. And I think overall in the financial planning industry or financial services industry in general, the way the business model is set up really prohibited some of the advisors who was willing to do this kind of work, but they didn't know how to go about doing that. So a couple of things that I figure that's get started by asking you some questions. So there are three things that you pointed out, and that's, I think that's critical. One is financial coaching. The other one is financial counseling. And the last one is financial behavior. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about one at a time.
Okay.
Tell us, what is the coaching and the counseling? What is the difference between coaching and counseling?
Yeah. So if I can, let me just kind of frame it in this idea of the financial health continuum. So this idea started to bubble up for me back in like 2007, when I was hearing, I had started coaching and was training people to be coaches. And I would often hear people say coaching versus counseling. It's this or that. And they begin to start to position one as better than the other. And that happened frequently because a lot of funding for community-based work was starting to prefer coaching, not for any other reason that it sounded sexier than counseling. And so there was really no basis for that notion that one was better than the other. And so I started to kind of develop what the concept of financial education, right? That transfer of knowledge, that fundamental understanding that we all have to be able to navigate our personal lives and then the markets, the economic system in this country better, right? So the financial education is that transfer of knowledge. And financial counseling is often and usually pretty directive. Like if you have a situation, I can help you fix that situation. And it might be credit counseling, it might be debt counseling, it might be basic budgeting. But it's really, in more often than not, it's to solve a specific issue that is going on. Financial coaching is more about what gets in the way between you doing what you say is important to you. So think of it this way. When there's a gap between what people know and what people do, that's when coaching is in that sweet spot. Right? So they might know better. They might have taken a class, they've done some financial education, and their counselor has even really helped them develop a great budget, right? And then they go back to their lives and nothing
happens. So is it safe to say that financial counseling tend to be you have a problem you need to fix, someone is going to hold your hand and fix it with you or for you. And where counseling, where coaching is really that we are really just like coaching you to learn some sort of new behavior.
Yes.
Where the client actually take full responsibility of getting things done. Is that the right analogy of looking at it?
It's a great analogy. I tell clients all the time, you're going to work harder than I do. So I don't build budgets. I don't do plans. I don't do any of that. They do all the work. I ask really great questions. And the questions that I ask are to help them figure out where do they want to be, what's important to them, and then what can they do to get there? But ultimately, the client is responsible for the action. And the fact is, even when you look at the entire continuum of, you know, education, counseling, coaching, planning, and therapy, the fact is, none of us can fix someone else's situation anyway. There's nothing that we're going to do. They have to do the work. Right. The question is, are we supporting them in a way that we're acknowledging their power and their ability to do it, and then helping support them with gathering the information that they need, and then the accountability to take action? Now, I do want to say many counselors are using coaching skills. So it's not an either or, it's not a versus. There are a lot of counselors who use coaching skills all the time. There are a lot of planners and therapists who use coaching skills all the time. So I'm hoping that people don't begin to think of it as one is better than the other. Everything along that continuum is necessary because we never know what people need. You know, I'm sure you've had clients who have paid you to do a financial plan and then they do nothing. You know, and then it's a beautiful plan and it's got all the charts and the bells and whistles.
The most common story I tell people is that I can't convince my mother-in-law to delay taking Social Security. There you go.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that one thing that you point out that's crucial is that, so counseling, coaching, it's really a continuum of the overall services. But I wanted to circle back on something that you mentioned is really, really critical, and that is the ability to ask questions, right? Because coaching has a very element of how you ask certain questions is going to impact whether or not that client is going to own that certain items and actually do something about it. So sure. Share with us about, in terms of asking questions, how could each one of the planners out there, or advisors out there, improve their ability to ask the right questions?
Yeah, so one of the things I think is really important is that most of us who are financial experts, we take great pride in how much we know, right? We're good at this. We've studied, we spent money to be good at it. And we like to have answers. We like to know not only answers, but the right answer. And so the challenge is often to be able to hold that back a bit. Not that you don't, if the client thinks that the light at the end of the tunnel is their path and you know it's a train, sure, you know, you're going to tell them it's a train, right? But the point is to not put your knowledge and your information above their own expertise in their own life. Because our clients know what gets in the way. We know what they should do for sure. I mean, if everybody did what we know we should do, we'd all be healthy and rich, right? But the gap between knowing and doing, and so what we can do in asking good questions is help that client recognize when they're getting in their own way, when their choices are not moving them in the direction of what matters most to them. And then the questions can also help when there are competing financial priorities. Say you're married and you both want the same thing ultimately, but your perspective on how to get there is very different. And so what asking good questions can do for counselors and coaches and planners is to be able to pose a question in a way that the client can bring their best thinking. And then when they bring their best thinking and you bring your best information in partnership with them, not usurping their own authority in their lives, but in partnership with them, they can then begin to see what their options are. So if you take someone who has had limiting beliefs, right? You know, my family's always struggled. There's never enough money. We're never going to be able to have the life that we want. So that's one perspective, right? And what asking good questions is, so tell me, that's one. I hear that. And I hear that that's your experience. I'm wondering what else is possible.
So I guess what one of the things that you mentioned regarding about really kind of pause for a moment, not directly give the solution, right? Because our job is to kind of peel the onions of asking additional questions. But I guess if I were to compare physicians and certified financial planners, I think physicians are being trained to ask questions. They rarely tell you direct answer, but the certified financial planner probably me the worst, that when someone asks something, I have an answer I'm going to tell you. And I have to really force myself to pause for a moment. Last week, my daughter was asking something that she was puzzled with. Mm-hmm. And I told her this, and I said I'm going to do that myself, is that when someone asks me a question, I should hold it and count it to 7 before I say anything, because otherwise I will say the answer, but that's not the point of counseling or coaching, because ultimately we want the clients to do what I call the self-discovery path, right? They need to discover those options that you mentioned.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I was wondering, how much of those that we can influence the client's behavior. So let's talk about behavior for a moment.
Yeah, so I'm not convinced that we do influence other people's behavior. I think that what we can do is we can help people connect deeply to the thing that they want to accomplish, and that we can help them recognize when what they're doing is headed down a road that's not their intended road. And then we can help them discover what are the things that they can do to get themselves or put themselves on track, and then kind of kick themselves back in on path when they go off, right? Because it happens to all of us. It might not happen to financial professionals around money, but every single one of us has one area in our life where we're just not doing the stuff that we know to do. And so when we think about it from that frame of reference, it's easy for us as financial professionals to say, well, yeah, but it's not this. I do these things. Well, that's great. That's not your thing. What is your thing? What is the thing that keeps you from being your best in other areas of your life? Because that's really all it is. The challenge is that, that's my breathing bell. The challenge is that.
That's all great.
Isn't it lovely? Isn't it lovely?
Yes.
Feel free to join me. Everybody in the room, feel free to join me when you hear the bell. So I guess I like for people to think of it this way. When you're clear about your vision and you know where you want to end up, and that's kind of what financial planners do when we're talking about discovery, right? The challenge is in financial planning, more often than not, discovery is about getting the details. Tell me where all of your retirement accounts are. Tell me where your money, tell me what you're doing. Tell me, you know, there might be so what is your vision? Where do you want to end up? But there's seldom a deep dive into the vision. Just that moment where that client can stop and think about, what does my life look like when I've got things exactly as I want it to be?
And I think that partially might be part of the training that we all received in the industry, right? Our job is to get the number, I'll figure it out. But then we
I'll figure it out and tell you what to do.
Right. But then the problem is that I ended up spending a lot more time to understand where clients are coming from. What's the reason that they're doing certain things?
And
I'm not trying to change that sort of behavior, if you will. If someone who wants to do their own investment, go for it. I mean, we're not in the business of stopping people from doing something, but unless it's very dangerous.
Right.
But you're right. So that self-discovery, having a good open mind to dive a little bit deeper. And that will help in terms of the relationship that you have with your clients and ultimately holding your clients accountable, so to speak, to do the right thing for themselves.
And it's kind of what you said, right? You know, where doctors are trained to ask questions and financial planners are trained to give answers. But the fact is, and we all know this, I remember one of the first things that I learned when I took the survey class, right, in my master's program was the moment you print, because back then we printed plans, right? The moment you print your plan, it is obsolete. Hot off the press, it is obsolete. And so the thing that we know is that the only one true financial planning answer is it depends. And what coach, that's what's true. That's the only answer that is always correct, right? Because, you know, you can give me a plan and I go home and I get a $50,000 tax bill. Everything you and I just did together has got to adjust because now there's something new. And it's not that that's a bad thing, because what the financial plan does is it kind of gives us some guardrails, right? And as long as we bounce around in those guardrails, we're good. But what happens?
So is it safe to say that ultimately the goal for coaching and counseling and behavioral adjustment, ultimately that we are helping clients to make decision at some point by themselves? Is that the ultimate goal?
I believe so. And when we say by themselves, that doesn't mean without information from their planner. You know, I don't think that financial coaching or counseling excludes planning. I think it's absolutely the opposite. I think that what counseling and coaching can do is support the financial plan and, by definition, the planner and the client in building the action. I think one of the things where financial planning as a profession kind of fails miserably is in that notion of the implementation strategy. I think that once the plan is done and the client has the plan, if the planner is managing assets, they're managing that. But how many planners do you know that make sure that the client is staying on budget every year and make sure that the client has bought all of the things that they need to buy for their plan to be what it's supposed to be, and that they're making sure that they're doing all of the ancillary things, you know, maximizing tax strategies and all? How many planners actually do that? And the difficulty is, I think that many financial planners also get very stressed out at the notion of accountability, because they're in service to the client.
Correct.
And so if you say to the client, well, hey, you know, I'm noticing that you're burning through that safe withdrawal rate, you know, what are we going to do about that? Right. I know very few financial planners who would dare say something like that to a client, because I think in one way they think the client might fire them. And I think that that's exactly what the client needs, is to know, but you have to do that up front. You can't ignore it all on the front end. And then at the end, the client's not following the plan. Like, hey, wait a minute. You know, you can't come back and penalize them for something that you didn't set up at the beginning. And that's what coaching and counseling does. Coaching and counseling, both in different ways, maybe, but both really are very clear that if you do these things, you'll get where you want to go. Now, what is going to be our process for accountability as we go? Some people think that if you're coaching, the client will discover they don't need you. I think it's exactly the opposite. I think that when you're doing that and you're working with the client as you go together, they realize just how much they need you, and how much holding that mirror up and doing, whether it's an annual review or quarterly or whatever it is that you do, not only saying, okay, this is what the numbers look like, but what is it going to take for you to stay on track? Because the client knows what gets in the way. They know why they're overspending. They know why they're not doing the things that they've agreed to. Because, you know, when you give them the plan, they say, oh, yeah, that looks great. You know, wonderful.
So pretty.
Oh, they love it. They love it. They write your checks. They pay you. All of that is great. You know, and that's one of the reasons that I love I see Dominique is out here. Dominique Henderson, you know, he has a group that I think is really amazing. It's that Jumpstart Professional Development Series that he does. And he helps people figure out what should your role be. because not everybody should be a CFP. Some people, correct, counseling is a good choice for them. Coaching is a good choice for them, or education. And so being able to take a look at what's the right choice for your personality. I am not good at planning. I'm just not. I don't like it. I don't enjoy the investments. I don't enjoy the tax. I don't want to know what the current tax laws are. I'm not interested in that. What I do want to know is that you care about what makes your heartbeat fast, and that you can work with me to determine what steps you are ready, willing, and able to take, and that you and I will be partners in you taking those steps and leaning on me when you need something from me, but trusting yourself to do what you know is best for you.
And I think that that's so critical for any planners and advisors out there to understand what you are really, really good at and enjoy doing. But I think what might be getting in the way would be that business models that typically in this industry might be very difficult to implement the counseling, the coaching into the practice. So if you don't mind that we segue